wanted to tell you that the chapter number 3, it says what it does, and it's a little bit dry for me, this chapter for Ernest Holmes. I think it's like very scientific. It has a lot of definitions, and I called Judy and I said, can I do chapter 4 also, because this is really too dry. I mean, anything. But the universe provided another thing that I think I'm going to start with that, because it was really very impressive. I think it was, I don't know, maybe 6-7 days. I was watching very late at night a program in the National Geographic, and it's talking about the universe. And the universe, it's talking about the unknown of the Big Bang. And the first thing they say is that the Big Bang, it was not a bang, because it didn't make any sound. So why would... But then, I mean, it's a very scientific thing, and it says, I mean, all the atoms, how they come to be and everything like that. And it says, well, for example, our sun that we, I mean, think is very amazing. It's a star, and, I mean, it has... One of the scientists told, I mean, it is so many millions degrees that it doesn't matter if it's Fahrenheit or centigrade. It really affected me because I'm centigrade, okay? So it doesn't matter. I mean, there are so many millions that it doesn't matter. And they're talking about that, and I said, well, but you know what? We really admire the sun, but honestly, we found it some suns that are bigger than ours, and such is 6 times, and so the other one is whatever. And there is the B237 that is 1,000,000 times bigger than our sun. I said, okay, so I'm getting it. And then they are talking about this galaxy and how much, I mean, the galaxy we knew. I mean, first we only knew the Milky Way and everything, and then we started developing, I mean, more tools to see the sky and everything like that. And then, I mean, suddenly we discovered that there is about 2,000,000 galaxies. And then this scientific is in the beach and he says, you know how much 2,000,000 are? 2,000,000 are, and then she takes her little hands and takes it with sand and says, there is 2,000,000 galaxies right here. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm getting it. Many galaxies, okay. And then she says, but honestly, with the Skylab that is in the sky and everything, we have discovered that they are, I don't know if it's 20 million or 20 billion things, and it says, so for you to me it's a number that I cannot even grasp. That's why I don't even remember it. But she says, it's like all the grains of sand that we have in the planet. I said, okay. Now, that really changed my perception completely. Now I got it. Now I get it, okay? So, when we talk about these things in Ernest Holmes, that's why sometimes we just don't get it. Because it's so immense, so out of our reach. I mean, just grasping what 2,000,000 means is difficult. Now, 20 trillion or whatever, for example, I mean, how far the stars are, or they are 300 million years light. Oh. Oh. It's the same as if you tell me, I mean, whatever. And if you put it in feet or inches, whatever. I cannot even grasp it. So what it really make me thought about this talk is that we only have a little piece of the reality that we are getting it. And as far as we study and as far as we understand and as far as we open ourselves, there will be little programs on TV that will open our minds. Now, how it works is that it works until we use this law and love. And that's how our life works. Now, the amazing thing is that in this, whatever, 300 billion, trillion galaxies, here we are, a perfect, whole, incomplete child of God, Peter, and everyone here. This immense vast, in absolutely wonderful intelligence, created us as their children, as this part of the intelligence divine mind is in our mind, in order that in this vast universe we can have a connection, which I think is pretty spectacular. I am completely sure that there would be billions and trillions of people, wherever they have, if they have six seats and they are purple, or whatever they are called. Because I don't think mine was so, with this vast universe, was only dedicated to do a bunch of little sand of people that they are able to grasp these wonders. I don't know if they speak or whatever it is, but I'm sure that there is a divine connection, divine consciousness in everyone. Whatever they're called, maybe they're rocks, maybe they're whatever, but there should be a divine intelligence there. Now, the thing is, once I started doing that, I was able to really relate of what our talk is about. Because it says that we need to study science of mind rationally to get any benefits of these principles. And the ideas that we are only able to receive, because the divine mind is infinite and can reveal its secrets, but it must have an outlet. And we are the outlet. Mind, divine mind, has an outlet that is our tiny, tiny, teeny, bitty mind, but anyhow, it's an outlet. The same way the divine intelligence gives us these ideas because of our mind. The same way we have to do it. We draw this divine intelligence, divine perfection, harmony, peace, love, prosperity, abundance, and everything with our mind. Now, the only thing that hinders that, because our mind can be awesome, but there is a little thing that it always stops us, the doubt. And the lack of faith, not jumping into the cold water full blast, not saying, I don't care what my mind said, I don't care what is possible, I don't care about the perceptions, I don't care about anything else because I'm finite, I'm so little. I need to jump in faith with my heart, with my will, with my mind, and jump and say, I believe that this is true and this is so. Once we are able to do that, because that's the only thing we have, really this is the only thing we have. If my mind is too tiny, and until I see something that really blows my mind and I'm able to just have a little grasp of the real reality, then the only other option I have is not trusting in my mind what I see, what I feel, what I smell, what is here. And just with my will, that is powerless, I mean, so powerful, that is when we can really begin to understand and to trust and to see the manifestations we want in our life. Last night you were in my mind, Kate, because this lady, since I know her, she says, oh, I want to live in a nice relationship, whatever, and she started it. And I mean, she went through it with a lot of hustles and new things and everything like that. She got it. I don't know how many years, but you got it. And many things that we can say in our lives. Some of them, they come easy, like my little home. That was a miracle. I mean, and I didn't even do it. I mean, I think I played a little bit of another house and whatever it is. And then, but the universe knew that I love beauty. And I have always loved beauty. And the thing is, the universe provided with almost even, not even asking. I did ask. But I mean, it was manifested very quickly. So it's about, I think it's so impressive that we just don't have to ask questions. We just have to have an action and trust. Because that's the most important thing. Now, the great thing is that says that the universe is impersonal. So if no, it doesn't matter if you're young, old, fat, white, purple, stubborn, angry, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's a good thing that we have, is that we can trust that the universe doesn't make any exception. Oh, it will never give it to me because I'm not as saint as such and such, or my consciousness is not as big, or I'm not whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you failed 370,000 times before, which is absolutely amazing, because we always start anew. We always start anew. It says that the universe, this is, I love this one, the rule of simplicity. Took me 3 days to understand this one. Okay? It says, every man stands in the shadow of a mighty mind, a pure intelligence and divine givenness. Okay, I understand that. Do I believe that? That's another thing. And it says, I mean, the arrogant has not perceived the simplicity of faith. Okay, so faith is simple. My faith is not simple. No, never have been. I always question, I search, I look, I compare, I mean, I use my logic and everything. That was really hit me when I finally understood the principle. Every time we question, we search, we look it for our means, we're not using the simplicity of faith. Faith is almost like a child. And it says here, and if that's when I got it, it says the simplicity of faith is like the farmer who is working in a field, and he knows he puts his seeds and expecting to grow. And a child that, I mean, the mother that is breastfeeding the baby, I mean, and trusts that, I mean, or maybe, I mean, the faith is what a lover sees in the lover's eyes. I mean, this is a total, complete. There is no reservation whatsoever. You just are there. And it really, that's when I really got it. I said, it has to be total, complete, whole. And so, once we do that, we can have it. It says that the universe cannot give us more than what we can grasp. Okay? And it says that we will never have accepted all our greater gifts. So this is a continuous adventure. The more we grasp, the more we can get, and the universe will give us absolutely every time more. The laws of the universe can be trusted, but we have to understand them before we use them. And it says that if we trust that there is infinite love, this absolutely amazing energy with all the galaxies there is, I mean, it decided to put us in a presence, a loving presence, because he put us in a wonderful planet that is warm, has seasons. I mean, they were talking about if the Earth, this scientific thing, it says if the Earth were 5% what is not, it would be a disaster. And 5% in the whole universe is nothing, nada, non, nothing. 5% will be nearer to the sun will be burning. 5% off will be completely frozen. So what are the expectations? And then he puts this planet with a lovely garden and the birds and the fruits and the watermelons that are absolutely delicious and everything like that. Then is when I start grasping the magnitude of this love. Puts the clouds in the sky so that we are not bored, that the sky is always different, that every single afternoon this universe sits with his paints and paints the sky different colors, never the same, all colors. The variety of fruits and vegetables and animals and people and beauty and everything. Wow. That's when my mind starts just getting a little bit, okay, I think I'm going to get it. One day I'm going to get it. But that's more or less how it feels to me. Because we need to compare with our finite minds what the universal mind is. We will never get it done. But I know that it at least it's something like a, feels like growing, feels like understanding. And the more we understand, the more we are going to be able to use it. So it says, love points the way and love makes it possible. It says that love and law, that we have always fighting about that. And I ask the question because it's, I don't get it. What is this love and law and whatever? Both of them are attributes of God. Love is an attribute like peace and harmony and divine intelligence, and law is the same thing. It belongs to the God's attribute, so it can not stop from happening. It has to be. So if we approach God by the sense of love, that this is what I want or I need or my family needs or anything like that, I mean, we approach it in the way of love, God gives it back by the way of law. So that's how things happen. And that's why the principle works. It says that divine mind contains all knowledge. Well, I get it. But the same thing it happens to us. The more knowledge we have, the more we can conceive, and the more we can receive. And there is an interesting thing. It says that it's given in a different kinds of how it shows up. For example, for a scientific, finds the answer. For an artist, finds the way to do it. For a saint, it draws the spirituality and embodies the Christ. The Christ. So it depends on almost what you ask to have it. And it's talking about, I mean, an iron that when it's melted, the iron doesn't care what kind of mold you put it on. So if you put a star, it's going to be a star, and if you put a little pig, it's going to be there, or wherever you put the mold in. And that's us. That's us, and that's what we are asking for. What mold are we putting? And the irony will do it. I mean, automatically, there is no choice. It's almost the same as the farmer who is planting corn, and he will not have pineapples. I promise you, he will not have pineapples in his lawn. Okay. So that's when really I got it and understand what this is about. Now, it says the mental world is definite. I don't understand this. So I started doing it, and it says that every step of the principle uses the same law, inspired by the same spirit, but it goes into different results. And that's when Emerson says that the unity passes into variety, because what you ask and what you have is not the same as what Catherine was doing, or David is doing, or me is doing, which I think is absolutely. So everyone draws the law for their own thing. I think it's pretty amazing that the law is able to accommodate, I mean, these 300 billion people in there. Gets me. Now, it's talking about also about the principle. And the principle, it says that it's a statement of law embodying a concrete idea of our desires with all our faith that the law will work for us as we work for it. And this is very important. I think the way we grasp this reality and we want a manifestation, we are using it in a treatment. But a treatment is not any other thing but a way of focus our minds. That's the tool. If you want to go to the movie, what do you need to do? You take your car, well, close your house, take your car, go to the movies, buy the ticket, sit in a chair, right? Okay. Well, the way to do this kind of treatment and use the law for a specific reason, we do the treatment, and the treatment is only the way to do it. It's how you approach that with the five steps that we know about. Recognition, unification, realization, thanksgiving, and release. I mean, I do a very simple treatment. Most of my treatments are so simple that it's amazing, because when I say God is all there is, I don't think I need to do anything else. Because it's true, any problem or any challenge that you have, once you get your mind says, God is all there is. What is it? It's health, God is money, God is, I will be on time for this meeting, whatever it is. Once you refocus your mind and God is all there is, almost everything else comes spontaneously. You almost, for you, Richard, that maybe you don't have access to these classes, it's just a realization that God is all there is and everything else. Then you say, oh, well, what am I worrying about? That's realization. And you say, thank you, God, because this is it. I mean, or the release, you don't even have to say thank you. The relief that you feel in that minute that you thank you. And you let it go and go on with your life. This is a fascinating because it's almost automatic. These are human responses, emotional human responses to a one idea. Once we focus our mind, God is all there is. There's nothing that God is not in. Whatever it is we want, God is. As I told you, money, prosperity, houses, relationships, whatever it is, God is. So once we get that, I think it comes automatically. Now, but it says that the treatment is active, not passive. And it's very good. This was really fitting my sweater. Very good. It says, treatment is an active thing. When one gives a treatment, he's not sitting around hoping that something will happen. Hoping will never get you more than hoping. This is a passive meditation. We have to go to do the active stating of the truth, knowing a specific good, and that's what a principle is going to demonstrate. I don't find the little thing that it told me that when you are hoping, okay, here it is. For example, I know that the principle of intelligence within me will direct me, blah, 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 etc. And then it completes with its thought. Well, I certainly hope it does. This is not a correct treatment because we are not using the principle scientifically. Hope is good, is better than despair. But it's a subtle illusion, it's an unconscious compromise that has not part on this treatment. There is no place in our minds that we should doubt. Get it out. It is the faith in me that now neutralizes all doubt. And this is when we say we hope or we are doubting it. We need to just get rid of those thoughts. Why are you telling me this? Why my mind is tricking me? So, and then have a clear consciousness, really clear, not muddy kind of thinking. It says, this is how it is, this is the principle, and I abide by the principle, and this is going to happen, period. And let it go. Which that sometimes, I mean, for us, and I have many things that I want to demonstrate that are not still here, so I'm still learning after so many years. But yes, I think it's a matter of faith. And it's amazing because it has been hitting me that Jesus says it will give it to you according to your faith. So this is not new. This is really very old. The other thing I wanted to tell you is that once I learned about the beaches and all the galaxies and everything, it said that the microcosmos is exactly as the macrocosmos. They're talking about the little atoms and the little electrons and how they do around and everything like that. And that we have every single atom in our body. It's a perfect picture of the macrocosmos. There is the millions, millions, millions of galaxies in our bodies. Which I thought it was pretty amazing, but listen to this. It says that this universe, I think it's 75% of the universe is empty. I mean, with the galaxy and there is nothing, and then galaxy or whatever it is. Guess what? Our bodies is exactly the same, because between the atoms, there is this galaxy of the electron, and there is nothing, and there is it. We are 75% nothing. Which I thought, I said, I cannot believe it. And that's when it really hit me, how spiritual we are. We are 75% nothing.
I think a better way to say that is we're 25% something.
I love it. No, because it gave me this airy feeling that I'm nothing. This is spirituality. This is why we belong to everything else, to this vast, immense. We are so, we feel, because you know what, Wayne? We feel it, we are so solid. This is solid, you are solid. Well, it's telling something very interesting. It says that, okay, if we are that airy, so how come there is this guy with his bat here is going to hit the baseball, okay? How does he hit the ball? And it says that it's so amazing. Matter is like this. The atoms of the bat, the peripheral atoms, are here. And there is, suppose there is nothing in the middle of the bat, okay? And the ball is the same thing. The ball has the atoms right here, and when he hits like that, the atoms of the bat hit the peripheral atoms of the ball, and that's what, and then he hits a home run.
That's the Big Bang.
A little bang, but never mind. But the thing is, it was so amazing because I said, that's why we don't understand, or I didn't understand what happened to the people that die, or maybe, I mean, in the last day that everybody's going to be with the body. It says, this, the universe will need to be very big to put so many people with their bodies. I mean, you know what I mean. But the amazing thing is that I got it. We are so spiritual, we don't realize it. The only thing that is in us is really this energy of the atom. Where does it come? This is the energy of God. We are made of God's stuff. And if you're not interested in knowing that, it's telling that the Big Bang gave every single element in the table. But let me tell you the thing is, the earth has been recycling. So it says, probably the next breath that you take, you are going to absorb an atom of Beethoven, and let go something, I mean, because it's only recycling. So guess what? Or maybe you're getting an atom of a dinosaur, or a turtle, or something, which I think, I get it now. We are just one. We are so one. Because it cannot be other way. And the atoms create and recreate again and again, forming different combinations. That's why I get it. It's, maybe that's my part of me that I always felt that I was a rock. Because yes, there are atoms of me that were a rock, or a tree, or a panther. And then I got it like the Hindu says that that's what all the reincarnations they're talking about. That maybe you become a monkey, could be, or a rat, or whatever it is. We don't know where our atoms are going to be in the next whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't think so. I wouldn't be very humiliated if I become a rat or a rock. It's exactly the same thing. So I think it was really amazing. I mean, this, and I says, God, I need to do this talk, I mean, in an interesting way, because this is too dry. I mean, and I said, you know what, I mean, I don't live that way. I mean, I need something that I can touch, that I can feel, that I can, I mean, that I can, experiences that I want to share. Because principles, I mean, it's nice to look it in the book, but if we don't have it in our state, in ourselves, there is nothing we can do.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So what you just said, wouldn't that tie into reincarnation?
Well, I have to tell you the truth. I mean, I if you ask me really, really if I believe in reincarnation, I don't know. And I don't care. It's fun. It's fun. It's really fun. Who cares about reincarnation? If it's true or not, nobody has told me the truth. To say, by sure, this is happening. We know that people come back and talk to people. I mean, once they are dead. I think it's just going to be part of the fun.
I have another question, too. And not that you do or don't know the answer, but let's suppose that everybody in the world, every person in the world at a given moment had a thought, and say that thought lasted for a second, 10 seconds, a minute, or whatever. And let's just say that they thought that we would like for this hotel to rise up into the air 100 feet. Would that happen?
We have never tried. So how am I going to... Yeah. How am I going to tell you? I think we are so powerful that we could do it. But nobody has tried it. It's like Abraham stating, I mean, that people can grow limbs if they want to. And we become like octopus. Pretty useful, I have to tell you the truth. Sometimes you're carrying things.
Suggestion for you. One person can do it. The only requirement is to have to believe.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's getting to the lead part.
Well, I'm going to end this one because I think this is exactly what it comes. When there is law involved, and this law executes the word, when we discover the laws, we can find that we can work if we begin to use them. And there is something interesting. There is no limit to thought, and that's exactly where it comes. The thought never gets lost. The thought is always in the infinite. Mm-hmm. So as you were saying, there are so many people, a thought can never be lost. There is always in the infinite. And how much this infinite of good is ours, as much as we can embody. So that's our homework. And it's a big one. And it's a big one. And thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, Peter.
Yeah.
Thank you. When you said that there was nothing, the nothing part, you know, between the atoms, that gives me the definition of what airy-fairy is.
Yes.
And a new appreciation for the term.
You know, no wonder I'm airy-fairy.
That's who we are.
Now I have a label for myself.
And understanding at the same time.